At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a sh. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows the name. Read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Haney. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, brought to you by HaneyUniversity.com. You can go to HaneyUniversity.com and sign up for my free video tips. They go out on a weekly basis, and you can also get all the information you need to know about getting a golf lesson from me, either at my studio in Paradise Valley, Arizona, which is right near Scottsdale, or at the new facility I'm teaching at, which is called the Golf Practice in Highland Park, Illinois. I've been saying it's in Deerfield, Illinois. I actually grew up in Deerfield, Illinois. It's right in between Deerfield and Highland Park. I'm literally like at the separation point. I think that's why I kept saying it was Deerfield. But great place, phenomenal place. I was over there teaching this morning and had a student. And every time I'm given a golf lesson, something happens and I think, you know what? This would be a good topic for a podcast. Because I know that if you listen to my podcast, chances are pretty great you want to get better at golf. And I want to help you get better at golf. That's how everything kind of got going for me. I mean, everything that's happened to me in golf, and I've had a lot of great things happen to me in golf, including doing this podcast and having all the great listeners that I have. And I appreciate each and every one of you guys. But it all came from the fact that I enjoy helping people get better at golf. It's really that simple. And I helped a lot of people get better at golf. And then I met Mark O'Meara, and I helped him get a lot better at golf. And before you know it, all of a sudden I had a lot of students. And then through the years, I've developed a reputation. And one of the things that I see in teaching is that there's a lot of teachers that have a lot of great information. Like when I think about the better known teachers, I mean, Butch Harmon and David Ledbetter and Jim McClain and, you know, whoever you want to throw into that mix, it's not that their information is so different or so much better than other instructors' information. It's just that they're able to get people to do what they're trying to get them to do. And you know, they have a plan to put it all together. And that's really the main difference. So when I'm given this golf lesson this morning, I had a student who's shot in the 80s, but he's more likely to shoot in the high 90s. He could go off the rails and shoot 115, and that's kind of a typical student. It really is. He used to slice the ball. Now he's getting the ball to hook some. Maybe mostly hook, but there's still a hint of slice in there. And one of the things that you have to understand is that, first off, nobody's going to make a perfect swing. There isn't anybody that plays a game that makes a perfect golf swing. Never has been, never will be. And certainly not on a consistent basis. Even if you look at Tiger Woods, and I look at Tiger Woods, and I said, man, that was a great swing. And I remember back in the day when I was watching, he made many, many great swings. Hardly ever missed a shot on the practice tee. But after I complimented him on his swing and told him how great that swing looked, I still thought to myself, okay, what could have been better? And there's never a case where I would look at it and say, okay, that was perfect and everything was what nothing could be improved on. And I'm sure it's the same for every player who has ever played the game. You're not going to make a perfect golf swing. So when you're trying to get better at golf, what you have to do is you have to make sure everything matches up. And you have to understand that it's not an all or nothing thing when you're changing your swing. You know, like I was helping my student with his takeaway, and he felt one was kind of back to what he used to do. He's really rolling his hands and taking the club inside. The club was, you know, halfway back. It was like parallel to the ground, like way, way off plane. I mean, I don't know, 50, 60 degrees off plane at that point. And he felt it after I'd explained it to him, and he felt it one time. And then he, you know, I could see a light bulb went off as he was swinging, and he kind of gave up on the shot. And I told him, I said, you know, if you feel something a little bit off, don't give up the ship, because, you know, chances are, I mean, you can still hit it. It's not like you can't make a mistake in your swing and hit it. You got all downswing to recover and the rest of your backswing, but you kind of gave up on that shot because you felt something was off. But that's something you felt that was off. Well, first off, it's a good sign that you felt it, because before you were doing it worse than that and you didn't feel it at all. And then you just did it and now you felt it. So that's a breakthrough right there. We've created some awareness as to what your mistakes are in your swing. But even if it was off, it wasn't off to the degree that it was before. It's not an all or nothing thing. I mean, you don't have to make a perfect swing to hit a great shot. In a lot of cases, what you have to do is just make a little bit better swing. And you have to match up your mistakes. My student had like a combination of different mistakes. When I look at somebody's golf swing, setup, whatever, I kind of look at each part of the swing, of the setup, everything. I think, okay, is that a slice or is that a hook? Those are the two shots that you can hit. Is that a slice or is that a hook? You know, 9 ball flights, straight ball. Low, medium, and high, right to left, low, medium, and high, left to right, low, medium, and high. But let's focus in on straight, right to left, or left to right. So you're either having a tendency to slice it or having a tendency to hook it. And you could look at each part of your swing and you could break it down and you could say, okay, this is a little bit of a hook. Like, for instance, he had a strong grip. So his grip's a little strong, and his hands were kind of separated on the club. He's got a 10-finger grip, so his hands are separated on the club. When your hands are separated on the club, he was a lefty. So when your hands are separated on the club, your bottom hand is going to tend to be a little bit more active because your hands are apart like that. And that's one of the reasons why with some players, they have their hands really, really, really close together, almost like they got a double overlap grip, and I'll separate their hands because I'm trying to put a little more release in there. But in his case, his hands were really, really separated, far apart, you know, and he said, I got a baseball grip, and do you think I should have an interlock grip? I don't really care what kind of grip you have, baseball, interlock, overlap. I mean, you know, Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus both interlocked, but most people overlap. But there's some people that have played with a 10-finger grip. So I don't think it totally matters. I wouldn't necessarily change somebody's grip just because I don't like a 10-finger grip. But if you have a bad 10-finger grip and you're going to change it anyways, why not change it to a overlap or interlock grip? That would be my point there. But his grip was on the strong side for the two reasons I mentioned. One, his hands were turned too much toward his back shoulder. And two, his hands were separated on the club. So that you look at that and you say, okay, that's a hook. And at the top of his swing, he had focused on really getting his left wrist flat, or in his case, his right wrist, because he's a left-handed player. So he's getting his right wrist flat at the top. And with his grip, the club face was very closed at the top. Okay, that right there says hook. I mean, as a matter of fact, that says big hook. That says like really big hook, because this club face was facing skyward at the top, which is a closed position. And that's a big, big hook. he wasn't necessarily hitting big hooks. He was hitting some hooks, but he was hitting, you know, a 20-yard hook when it could have been a 50 or 60-yard hook with that grip. And on top of that, his irons, he's 5'10", you know, average length arms, and his irons were 2 degrees upright. Now, why were his irons 2 degrees upright? Because he went and got fitted for clubs, and I would say that the fitter probably had pretty good idea what he was doing. I'm going to give him a little high mark here on this one because he factored in how he hit the golf ball, which at the time he was slicing everything. He factored in how he hit the golf ball, and he put a little correction in his club fitting. He didn't like put like a ridiculous correction. Like back in the day, I mean, like way back in the day, I used to have students come to me. There was a club fitting system, and they made clubs. And I'm not going to, you know, rip them because I got in trouble for ripping them one time. But they would fit people. Of course, you know, 90% of the people that play golf slice the ball. But they would fit these people with 4 and 5 degree upright clubs. I'd have somebody come for a golf lesson. They're 5'9", and they've got 4 degree upright clubs. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Well, they said that, you know, that's how I was, you know, should be fit because, you know, I'm coming into the ball like this and, you know, I'm missing everything over there to the right. So, well, that should help fix it for sure. When you make a club more upright, you bring the toe of the club up at impact. And when you bring the toe of the club up at impact, the ball is going to have a tendency, if you're a right-handed player, to go more to the left. If you're a left-handed player, it's going to have a tendency to go more to the right. I mean, that's just what the upright club does for you. It brings the toe up, it turns the face in. So anytime you want to hook the ball more, like with a driver or with your irons, if you have a more upright loft, driver's a little easier to change. You just usually unscrew the back and change it to a more upright loft. You'll be promoting more of a hook or a pull to the left if you're a right-handed player. The club fitter that he was with, and his measurements, his static measurements, based on his height and the length of his arms and everything, he should have had pretty much a standard length club. He was 5'10". Average height in male is 5'10". So he should have had a standard lie club. And I explained to him, I said, you know, over the years, the lie angle has changed with golfers. I mean, and the way golf clubs have been built, because the average height of the average individual has gotten taller over the years, and the manufacturers have made an accommodation for that and made the clubs generally a little bit more upright than they used to be made. The other thing is the only thing that sells in golf. There's only one thing that really sells in golf. The only thing that sells in golf is distance. That's all that sells. People just buy distance. People don't buy accuracy. They buy distance. And that's what every company sells. They sell distance. You know, you're going to gain this much yards here. You're going to, you know, we sell distance with performance golf when I sell my videos, because if you stop slicing, you're going to hit the ball farther. And when you hit the ball farther, you can play better golf. Distance determines your potential in golf. It's the most important aspect in the game. And it's what everybody wants is more distance. So that's what they sell. Well, when you make a club more upright, you know you're going to make the club closed a little more at impact. And when you close the face more, you're going to de-loft the club and you're going to reduce the spin. And when you do that, you're going to get more distance. So manufacturers said, hey, you know what? Everybody buys more distance. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the club a little bit more upright than I used to. And they're going to hit it farther. And they're going to think our clubs are better than the other clubs. And the only thing that's going to be different is the lie angle. And they're not going to know the difference. And then when one company does it, they all do it because they have to keep up with the Joneses. You have to do it. So my student had 2 degrees upright. So he's going to tend to hook it a little more because of that. So he's got the grip that's strong. He's got the clubs that are upright, and then he's taking practice swings when we're just standing there talking, and I'm having a conversation. I'm getting him to tell me about his game. And he's taken practice swings, and his hands and arms and club are making basically a full swing motion. He's taking it all the way back. He's taking it all the way through with the club. I mean, the club's going all the way through and hitting him in the back as he gets to his finish. But yet his body's not moving at all. He's not pivoting his body at all. Your hands and arms have to move with your body. That's what provides the timing and the tempo and the rhythm to your swing. If your body doesn't move and your hands and arms move, hands and arms will tend to outrace the body. That will close the club face. So that's another factor that would put a hook in there. Okay, so you got all these hook factors: close face, body's stopping, clubs upright. You got a lot of things that are causing it to hook. And sometimes it is hooking. So sometimes that's the overriding factor. And then other times, it's still not hooking. It's still getting blocked. It's still slicing. Okay, well, why is that? Because he's hitting with the side of his hand. You know, for all intents and purposes, the back of your lead hand is your club face. And if you hit with the side of your hand, you're going to lead the face open. If you hit with the back of your hand, you're going to be square. If you turn your hand too much, you're going to be closed. But there's got to be some slice factor in there because there's a lot of hook factors. That club face was dead closed. The grip was strong, causing the face to be closed. The swing was flat going back, which a more rounded swing will close the face more. His body was stopping. His hands and arms were going. His clubs are upright. There's a lot of things that are going to cause that ball to hook, which is better than slice, because I always say, if you hook the ball, you're on the road to good golf. If you slice the ball, you're on the road to nowhere in terms of good golf. You are not going to get there. No one has ever gone from slicing to good golf, ever, in the history of the game. Not one person. Never, ever, ever. It'll never happen. Now, you can go from slicing to hooking to good golf. You can go from slicing to hooking to learning to fade it. You're a great golf, but you're never going from slicing to good golf. Never, never, never going to happen. But he's got these hook factors that, and there had to be some slice factors in there too. And one of the slice factors is when you go back too flat, then you're going to tend to come down a little bit steep. And when you come down steep, you tend to block the face open. So that's a possible reason for why the club face is getting blocked open. And number two reason is just that it's just the way he's always hit. He's always blocked it and didn't know how to release his lead hand. And the problem is you could take a student like this and you could make them look a lot better. I'm going to give you a beautiful looking grip. Now you swing it back. Your club face is dead square at the top. But if you take a person that's been hitting a 20-yard hook with a 45-degree closed club face, and you put him square at the top, that might make for a nice pitcher, but it's going to make for a big old slice when you get down to the bottom, because that face has only been a few degrees closed at impact, and now all of a sudden you got it square, and that face is going to be wide open. At impact, if you're square at the top, it's likely to be wide open at impact, especially if you've been slicing like this guy was. And now you've made it look better, but you've made it worse. And that's what you don't want to do. You don't want to make it look better and make the shot worse. And that's always the delicate balance. And that's why there's so many times when people will say, Hank, I took a couple lessons and I got worse. And then other people say, well, you have to, you know, you got to get worse before you can get better. And that is 100% not the case. 100% not the case. Like if I have a student come to me for a lesson, I am expecting them to get better right away. Like day one, first lesson, if you're not better, don't come back. Period. And now I'm not saying you're going to be 100% consistent. But this is not like, hey, go work on this for a month and then come back and see me and let me know how you're doing. No, 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 no. You should be better right away. Now, hey, maybe not consistently, because maybe you got a lot of things to think about. Maybe, as I like to say, maybe your plate's a little full because we got too much to think about. You got, you know, and there's nothing we can do about that. I got to put your plate a little full, because if I don't put your plate full, we're not going to get good shots. And I know we have to get good shots, and I want to hit good shots, and I want you to hit good shots, and I want you to understand that you're going to hit good shots. So inconsistency we can deal with because we've got all these things we got to think about. But I can't have you just work on one thing. Like let's say your setup's, you know, not good. So we fix your setup. Okay. That doesn't really count because it's before you start to swing. You got all the time in the world to do that. You could stand in front of a mirror. You could practice. Sooner or later, you should be able to look like you're supposed to look. That shouldn't be that hard. But maybe it's your takeaway. Maybe we're working on your takeaway. You're working on your takeaway. And I can't say, hey, come take a lesson. I'm going to give you a lesson. We're going to work on your takeaway. And then come back and see me, you know, in a month or something with a good takeaway. Chances are when you fix his takeaway, you're going to make him worse because now it's so different. He doesn't know what to do from there. And by the way, even if you did it like that and then they come back, but as soon as you tell them something else, their takeaway may go to you know, hell in a handbasket. So you can't do it like that. You got to give them more things. You got to know when it's time to give them the next thing. You got to know when it's time to reverse course and retrace your steps. But you have to kind of present the whole picture of, okay, this is what we're going to work on, and this is the whole thing. Now it's first things first, but you know, at some point you got to move on. You know, you just can't you can't keep working on perfecting the takeaway and leave out everything else. That's just not going to work. So you have to know when it's time to move on, and you have to know when it's time to move back, and when it's time to repeat things. But everybody who plays the game has mistakes in their swing, and the mistakes, if they match up, you may hit a good shot, and if they don't match up, you hit a bad shot, and if they match up and you hit a good shot, then your next question is, how can I be more consistent? Well, it's hard to be consistent when you got a lot of mistakes in your swing. I'll give you an example. I mean, you may have somebody who has a open club face at the top of their swing. Maybe their wrist is cupped at the top. Maybe their grip is too weak. Club face is open. But they throw it a lot with their hands on the way down. Okay, that closes a face. That closes an open face, and they hit a good shot. Maybe they also have a upright swing. Upright swings tend to do a few things. Upright swings tend to hit off the toe. Upright swings also dig in the ground too deep. And upright swings tend to block the face open. But let's say we grip it a little stronger. So we grip it a little stronger, and that makes up for the fact that you're blocking it a little bit coming down. And you're hitting off the toe, but let's say you stand a little too close to the ball. That compensates for hitting it off the toe. And then let's say that, when you're coming down too steep, you're going to hit into the ground too deep, but you pull up with your arms or you raise up with your posture, change your angle from your waist, and you stand up. And that keeps you from hitting too much ground. And now you've got all these mistakes that are compensating for other mistakes, and you can't be consistent. You can't. And that's why at the end of the day, golf swings start looking really, really similar for better players. I mean, they just do. You know, you look out on the PGA Tour, and I mean, there's exceptions, but there's not many. There's not many. You know, most of them have similar characteristics, and that's the best way to be consistent.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
If you're going to get better, you're going to change. I mean, you know, because, you know, through the years, people have asked me, they said, Hank, you know, what do you work with what we've got, or do you change this around? And of course, I know whenever anybody asks a question like that, I know exactly what they're looking for. They want me to say, yeah, I work with what you've got. And teachers, and there's teachers that fashion themselves as I work with what you've got. You know, we just, how do you work with what you've got? Well, you got some like magic wand and you take the same swing, but it hits two different shots. The same swing does not hit two different shots. The same swing hits the same shot. So there's no such thing as working with what you've got. That doesn't work. If you're going to change your ball flight, you have to change your swing. How do you work with what you've got and create a different result? It can't happen. So you have to be prepared to change. You got to hit the balance of changing this and changing that a little bit at a time, maybe. Or really good with this, then I got to get really good with that. And it's always like putting the hook in, taking the hook out, putting the hook in, taking the hook out. That's kind of the process. But I just wanted to share those thoughts today, because I know a lot of people are frustrated by the fact that they have not gotten better at golf, and everybody hits good shots. They can't consistently hit good shots, or they can't consistently hit the good shots that they need to hit to get to the level that they aspire to be to. And a lot of it has to do with everything I just said. Hope everybody enjoyed the podcast. Hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app, wherever you get your podcasts. If you have arthritis pain, try my Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. You can go to voodoopainrelief.com. It is absolutely the best product on the market. I'll tell you what, if you have the TMJ, one of my students the other day, he was asking me about my Voodoo Pain Relief Cream, and he said, does this work for TMJ? And I said, you know what? I said, this product was actually invented for TMJ. That's how it was. The original people who bought it were dentists, and they use this for their patients who had TMJ, which is a terrible, terrible problem. Anyway, my students said, my wife has TMJ. Would it help her? And I said, absolutely would help her. So I texted them the other day. I said, how's your wife doing with my Voodoo Pain Relief Cream on her TMJ? He said, it's working great. I told you it was going to work great. That product's fantastic. And that's a terrible problem. So anyway, if you don't have it, maybe you know somebody that does. Arthritis pain, same thing. Joint pain, muscle soreness, whatever it is. VoodooPainRelief.com, totally guaranteed, 100% guaranteed. Return rate is less than 0.1%, so that tells you how many people have sent it back, which is like nobody. And they reorder over and over and over again. Why would they do that? Why would nobody ever say 100% money back guarantee? You know, the return rate is 0.1%. Why would that possibly be? Why would that possibly be? Only possible reason is that it would work. That's the only possible reason. Hope everybody tries it. VoodooPainRelief.com. And I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Have a great day. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And we'll talk to you soon on the Hank Kenny Podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.